Well, you know, I remember what when I was in school there, they said, when you preach to one just as if you was preaching to a thousand. So that's what we're going to do tonight. This thing's falling off me already. I thought this part was going to fall off, not that part. Well, pastors are gone. They're down at the Freedom Rally. Has anybody been listening to some of that? That's been pretty awesome, isn't it? I haven't got in on a lot of it, but got in on some of it, and it's pretty good until, you know, Rhema streaming doesn't work. I don't know if everybody's had that problem, but we kept kicking us off. And
I don't think they're equipped for that many people to watch it.
Well, you know, yeah, it seems like it does that, though, even during, you know, the regular seminars, too. But I don't know what the problem is. But would be nice if they get it fixed, yeah. So that it doesn't do that. But so everybody, oh, let's see. I guess we ought to probably take up the offering here first. I'm going to have Dean do the honors. But, you know, as the Bible tells, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in the house. So that's what we're going to do. If anybody's got that tonight, Carol does, okay. And the Rankies do back there. Get that over with. And so, you know, it's probably going to be the shortest service ever because we don't have praise and worship. We don't have the kids and thing. And my message isn't really that long, but I hope it's powerful.
That's right.
So everybody's doing good. You're not dealing with anything. You're all liars, probably dealing with something. We all deal with something. You know, we're all in a, you know, it says the just shall live by faith, so we should be in some kind of faith for something. And so maybe you're dealing with something like that. But, you know, last night I actually had a little conversation with a friend of mine that was dealing with quite a bit, had quite a bit on his plate. You know, it wasn't too long ago, his dad passed away, and they're in the process of building a brand new home, and they put their house on the market, which they've got it sold, and do have a closing date on both of their homes coming up. But also, amongst all that, he's selling his dad's home, too, and going through that right now, too. And you know, that, if you've been through any of that, you know, that's kind of a tough time anyway. And not to mention with the craziness that's going on in the world right now with all the COVID and all the garbage, and I say garbage because it is garbage, that the new administration has got going on. So you know, my friend's dealing with a lot. Yeah. But tonight, you know, I don't want to talk about too much about that friend, but I do want to talk about my best friend, and that's Jesus. Yeah. You know, we have a friend in Jesus, and as a matter of fact, he calls us friends. There in John, we're going to start there in John chapter 15, and we'll start there in verse 14. It says, "You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." And I'm going to jump over to verse chapter 16, verse 20. Well, let's start in 22. "And you know, therefore, I have sorrow." Of course, so Jesus is talking about birthing pains, how he's going to be leaving. He's trying to comfort his disciples here during their time of tribulation, and really the tribulation they're going through is because of Jesus, that they're standing up for Jesus. And he's talking to them about, you know, he's going to send a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to them. But we get in verse 22 here. It says, "And you know, therefore, I have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto, don't you love the King James? Hitherto. Where else will you hear hitherto? I guess we could replace for as of now, or as so far you have asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Now he's trying to comfort his disciples here against the kind of the things that they're going through and the things that they're gonna be going through here as Jesus leaves. But really the point I want to get to here, and he's mentioned it a couple of times, he says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. You shall ask the Father in my name, and he will give it to you. You know, tonight, what I'm going to talk to you about, we're going to talk to you about the power in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's power. There's something about that name. There's a song about that, isn't there? There's just something about that name. But there is power in the name of Jesus. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, we have the name of Jesus to stand on. And once you have the understanding of the power and the authority behind that name, you can have joy. Your joy, you have joy through the faith journey that you're going through. And when I read that, it kind of reminded me too of the scripture there in James. And I want to share that with you in James chapter 1. And this I'm going to take from the Passion Bible. I love this. But it's kind of encouraging. There in verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, says, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. Doesn't seem quite right, does it? You're going through much difficulties, nothing but difficulties, but it says you can experience great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then, as that endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection in every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. You know, it really bothers me. We're talking about the power in the name of Jesus, and it really bothers my spirit when people use that name in vain, and we hear it every day. If you're out in the world, you're probably going to hear Jesus' name used in vain. And as a matter of fact, yesterday I had that experience with a coworker, and I had never worked with this individual before, just a young man. And yesterday was my first time to ever be around him and to work with him. And he seemed like a fine young man and great worker. I mean, I was impressed with his work ethic. He did a great job. But towards the end of the day, he looks at his phone. He gets his phone out of his pocket and discovers the phone's smashed. It's all busted up. And so, needless to say, he wasn't real happy about that. And he got on his phone trying to talk to somebody about, getting it fixed and that. And, of course, he's just getting nothing but recordings. And of course, out of his mouth comes that Jesus, you know, the F word, Christ. And it really bothers, it bothers my spirit when I hear people do that because they don't have the understanding of that name, the power that's behind that name. And they just don't understand and don't know, whether this young man was a Christian or not. And I hear Christians using that too, unfortunately. But that's why they're in Ephesians chapter 1. I mean, they just don't understand the meaning behind the name of Jesus. And if we just turn to Ephesians, I mean, you're very familiar with that, but the Ephesians prayer there, verse chapter 1, Paul's praying. Says there in verse, starting 16, says, he ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know, once we have the wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, things are going to go a whole lot better for us. He It says that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And that includes the voting things. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that is which is to come. And it put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And I want to skip over to 2:6 too. He says, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is in us. You know, I can't get past that. I've been on that soapbox before Easter. That power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And man, that song, you know, of who is that? Has that song? I can't think of his name right now, but the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Jeremy Camp, yes. Man, that song's been on my... That's been on me for weeks. And but there's power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power and authority. And he has delegated that power and authority to the church. You know, and you may not understand that, but if we look at the fact the power of attorney, you know, if you've had ever dealt with that, you know, I've had dealings with that with, you know, when you have loved ones, you know, maybe your parents passed on or before they passed on, has given you the power of attorney. You know, I know my brother actually, when my mother was slipping more into dementia, one of my brothers was given the executive power of attorney over all of her affairs, you know. They went to the lawyer, you know, got it all done legally. And he had the power of attorney to handle all of her affairs, you know, all of her financial dealings. You know, he could take her check with her name, put her name on that check and write it out and pay her bills and so forth. I mean, you know, he could have wrote a check out and bought himself a Corvette, you know, if he wanted to. I mean, because he legally had the power to use her name. And that's the way it is with Jesus. We have the power to use his name as done legally. As we look in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, and we'll go to verse 18. Give you time to get there and myself to get there because we got all the time in the world tonight. Verse 18, chapter 28. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Now, if you stop at, you know, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, you know, Jesus, that's fantastic. But immediately after that, he authorizes the church to go forth into all nations with that power. So he's given us the authority to use that power and use his name. Same way in Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Chapter 16, Mark chapter 16. Oh, we'll start at verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, as, you know, pastor was talking about, I think it was just last week or whatever, but, we don't drink poison expecting to heal us, but if we do, we have the protection. But it says that these shall follow that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. There's power in that name, and he's delegated that power to us, the church. You know, the authority becomes, you know, it's not that, you know, just because we're born again that we have all this power to use. That authority comes behind that name. Behind Jesus. I mean, it's no different than, for instance, a police officer. You know, just this week, or maybe that was last week, I guess, it was last Friday, I was going down Interstate 80, and I took the DeSoto exit because I had to pick up some of their garbage there. Had a dumpster I had to pick up on my way back from Earlham. And as we come off the exit, we see all these police lights, and they're down there underneath the bridge. There was a semi that had some very high cargo on the back of a flatbed, and he tried to go under a bridge that was a little too low. So he hit the bridge and busted the bridge up, and they had the fire truck there, everything. I mean, the cargo was moved, and they was working on the bridge, but they had one lane closed down. You couldn't get through there because they're working on that bridge that this semi just hit. So here's the highway patrolman there directing traffic. Well, I'm coming there through with my big truck, and that officer is out there with his hand up stopping traffic. Well, we know that little officer there with his hand up, they're not going to stop my big truck. I could squish him like a bug with my truck. But I'm stopping, not because of that person that's stopping this 10,000-pound truck. It's the authority behind that person that's raising his hand that's making me come to a dead stop. Because if I don't, guess what? I'm going to have a nice big ticket. So I'm succumbed to the authority that's behind that person. And that's the way it is when we use Jesus' name. It's the authority behind that name that's changing things, that's making everything come to a stop. I want to take a look at a couple examples of the early church where they used the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. So, of course, do that. We're going to turn to Acts. Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and we're going to go to start there and at the beginning, verse 1. We're all familiar with this. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he that was set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel at this? Or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or our holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which by hath given the perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Yeah. They was looking at them as like they did something. But he's told them, you know, it's not us, it's faith in the name. You know, what did he say to this man? He says, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." There's power in that name. There's just something about the power in that name. You know, I recall Pastor Hagin, he always used this, and he's used it many times. I've heard it several times, I guess, but he tells about a story about when he was in Taiwan, and it was when he was still in the service. They were on motorcycles, and they were going along this cliffside, and he was in the very back of this group of motorcycles going through there. Of course, you know, when you're going out there, the terrain's rough, and they got around on motorcycles. But it's just, you know, just dirt, loose road, and it's on a cliff, it says about 1,000 feet down. And he's going along there, all of a sudden, the motorcycle's like come out from under him, and he's going off the cliff. I mean, there's nothing, he's headed off the cliff. And all he could do, he didn't have no time for nothing, but he just yelled out, "Jesus!" And he says, just like something just took that motorcycle and just laid it back on track. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, when we're facing something, you don't have any time to holler out anything but Jesus. And Jesus better be what's on your mind instead of some curse word or something that comes out. But, I always remember he tells that story. And there's just something, the power in the name of Jesus. If you don't have anything else to say, say Jesus. Because there's something about that name, that there's power in that name. Acts chapter 16, another example of using the name. In this example, using its name against spirits. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation.' And this day she many days, but Paul, being grieved," in other words, he was greatly annoyed with this person, "turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out of her the same hour." So there, once again, he's just using the name of Jesus. Because, you know, evil spirits, they are quite aware of the power that comes from the name of Jesus. And I'll prove that to you. Just turn to chapter 19. You know, verse, actually, you know, before we turn there, in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, well, I guess that's not where I want to go. James 2, 19 says, devils tremble at his name. They tremble at his name. But, you know, Philippians 2, 19 is a good, or Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11 is good because it says his name is above every name. Amen. Just like it told us there in Ephesians. But in Acts 19, I'll start in verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto him sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, the exorcists, took upon them to call upon over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I mean, they're going to try out this. It says, we adjure you by the Jesus who Paul preaches. And there were 7 sons of the Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They didn't have the legal right to use the name of Jesus, but they thought they'd try it out. The evil spirit... The evil spirits overpowered them. They know the name of Jesus, but they know the Paul who preached Jesus, but they didn't know that those dudes, and it overcame them, overpowered them. So let's go on now. I want to talk about, and this is where I wanted to get to anyway, about how we agree in his name. Matthew. Because I wanted to get to the power of agreement in Matthew chapter 18. Because really that's what we need to get to. You know, we know everything is birthed out in prayer. And in this day and time, and we need to be praying out some things. And I want to show you how we use the name and the power of agreement. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask, it shall be done unto them by the Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, we use that quite often. We talk about, you know, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And that is true. He's there with us. He's always there with us. But taking that in context with what he's saying there before, it says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done unto them by Father which is in heaven. You know, when we honor him in the midst, Jesus, he's there to bring what we agree upon to pass. So, when we come in agreement and come to the Father, you know, it says, ask the Father in the name of Jesus. He's there to bring it to pass, and we're going to get what we ask for. Because in John 14:14, it says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, of course, you know, it says anything, and of course we know and understand that it's anything that's according to God's will. You know, we're not going to ask something that's against his will and expect to receive anything. But if we ask anything and come in an agreement in the name of Jesus, we can expect to have what we ask for. Let's turn to 1 John. We can be confident that what we ask, we're going to receive. 1 John chapter 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. And when we come to the Father in the name of Jesus and agree upon anything according to his will, we can be confident that we're going to have it.